look at Proverbs 3. But we're kind of going to go back and do a bit of a summary of John as well. So if you only listen to one talk in this term, this is the one. Stay awake for this one. We'll capture kind of the summary of John, but I'm going to pick up and pick out what 3, 5, and 6 says in Proverbs. So why don't I pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word that's captured here in the Old Testament, in the Proverbs, in the wisdom literature, but also what your apostle John wrote, who refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, and what he wrote about your son, Jesus Christ, how we can know you and have relationship with you. And I pray that we would meet your son, Jesus, today, and we would be changed. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. So we're looking at this idea of leaning on God. Proverbs 3:5 is saying to us, trust in the Lord or lean on God with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. There are times, I think, when we need to make a decision or we come to a choice when we realize we need to lean on somebody. We need to trust somebody. You know, the song, we all need somebody to lean on. You might be trying to work out what's the best thing to do. What's the best choice that I need to make? What's the best thing to do next? It might actually be that something has gone horribly wrong and you just need to know, how can I get out of this? I need some wisdom. I need to make a choice. I need to make a decision. It's really tricky. And you might want to trust a friend, a mentor. Maybe sometimes it's even a stranger. End of last year, Amy and I were trying to decide whether we'd send our 4.5-year-old boy to school. And it's kind of difficult from preschool. A bunch of his mates were about to start school and they'd all already turned 5 and he'd be 4.5. He's a bit young. And well, if we leave him, he's 5.5, but he might miss his mates. And so we thought, well, you need to go and talk to the preschool teachers about this. And you know, and they kind of said, look, you know, each kid is different and the parents have a lot of freedom. And we said, yeah, but what should we do? Well, each kid is different and the parents have a lot of freedom. And okay. We had to make a choice. We had to pray about it. Sometimes we want to depend on other people and it doesn't work out. Sometimes we think and we realize, you know what, the only person I can depend on is me. If I'm really going to make a choice, I'm really going to live with that choice, the only person I can depend on is me. The only wisdom I can truly have is the wisdom that I have. If you just look down a bit at Proverbs 3, verse 7, we see the human condition. It says, kind of accurately describes what that is like. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, we make the standard of wisdom us. What we think is wise. I can't really depend on anyone else. They're going to let me down. I can depend on myself. I can be wise in my own eyes. But sometimes that doesn't work. Deep down, we know circumstances when we've been a bit dodgy and we can't actually follow or depend on ourselves. There's some times when we haven't acted wisely. We haven't made the right decision. Things have gone wrong. I remember when I was at university, I was walking along the road. This is a silly example, but it just brought out my pride. Because this is before smartphones. A guy, he went down the window and he said, oh, mate, could I ask a favour? I said, of course, you know. I'm a kind of a guy you can ask a favour of. And he said, do you live here? Are you local? I said, yeah, I am. This is my city. He said, well, I'm looking for directions to Mega Meats. And I thought, oh, it's a famous place. I should know it. But I should have said to him, I actually don't know the directions. But I didn't. I just gave him directions. Because I'm dodgy. Mate, it got into my pride. I was like, yeah, you know. And in Wollongong, you've just got mountains on one side and you've got beach on the other. It's either north or it's south, really. And I should have said, just go left, 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 and then ask the next guy who's coming around. But it's just, there are other examples, though. We know other experiences in our life. We know our hearts, our own wisdom. We can't actually trust it. We can't actually depend on ourselves. I've got a verse here from James 4. And this, again, explains our human condition so well. Why we get things wrong. Initially talking about fights and quarrels. And it says, what causes the fights and quarrels? They come from the desires that battle within us. You know, have a good reputation, be thought well of, get my own way. You desire, but you do not have. So you kill, you covet. You cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This explains our world. If I'm honest, this explains me. I mostly ignore God, but when I do talk to him, it's about stuff that I want. Make me rich, you know? That would solve a heap of problems. And yet, as James goes on to write, you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. He's saying that desire, that pride and that greed and what guides our sinful, dodgy hearts makes us enemies of God. So, one, you can't trust your own heart. You can't depend on yourself. And two, your heart actually makes you an enemy of God. We can't really depend on ourselves. And the reality of us being enemies of God is that we can't save ourselves either. We are in danger because we are God's enemies. But here it is. We're getting the summary of John. All the highlights of John. John 3:16, very famous words. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In that, you see, we were headed towards perishing. That was our destiny. If you're an enemy of God, a lover of yourself, trusting in your own heart, your own wisdom, wise in your own eyes, we're going to eternal death. But it says the alternative is God's love, his great love for us. It meant that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to us so that if we believe in him, that means depend, trust, if we lean on him, we will have eternal life. Only God can save us. Only by trusting and depending, the Bible uses the word faith, by having faith in Jesus, can we be saved. And the offer there is that of eternal life. This is from John chapter 1. You might flick to it if you want to, but here it is up on the screen. I want to talk a little bit about why we can trust God and what eternal life looks like. So in his introduction, John is saying, okay, no one has seen God with their own eyes. He's so holy, he's so perfect. But the one and only Son, that's Jesus, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So Jesus, who is God, who is at the right hand of the Father, who is God himself, has come to earth. And he has revealed to us what God is like. So you can trust Jesus. He is God. In the way you can't trust other people and truly depend on them. You can't depend on them for salvation. Some of us try. We try and depend on the person that we marry. Sometimes we depend on our kids. Sometimes our parents. But for salvation, from the fact of being an enemy of God to being a friend of God, in fact, being a child of God is how the Bible puts it, we can only trust Jesus. And we can only trust him because he is God. But this is what happens. When Jesus dies on the cross, he takes our place. There's this incredible swap that occurs. So we looked at those few chapters of John and he's speaking with his followers and it's incredible to see what he does. He washes their feet and he says, be unified like my Father and I are. And then the next night he's going to die. And what happens on the cross is that he takes our death. We're enemies of God. He is the Lord. He's the King. We should die. But Jesus dies in our place. But the swap doesn't just end there, because then we kind of take the place of Jesus and we have this closest relationship with the Father. That's what we get in return. He takes our death and he gives us intimacy with the Father. The kind of way that this is best expressed is that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's at the word is actually, he's at the bosom of the Father. He's there at his shoulder. His head is on the heart of the Father. And that's what Jesus offers us. He's to come and take my place. I've taken your place in death. Come and take my place and my Father will hold you. His arms will be around you. You will have that closest relationship. When you hear eternal life, it's not just being forgiven. It's not just being in paradise. It's being in the presence of God the Father and being held by him. We can trust him because he's God. In a way, we can't trust ourselves. We can trust him because he is perfect in the way that we aren't. Proverbs 3:5 kind of gives us a little bit of a pre-runner to Jesus, but it's just a really beautiful summary of what trust is like. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your path straight. We find that really difficult to do. The Israelites at this time, they found it hard to trust in the Lord and to do so with all their heart. Even though there was this benefit, hey, look, if you submit to him and obey, he will straighten your paths. He will guide your direction. It will go better for you. A lot of Proverbs are, here's a wise way to live so that it goes better for you. But this really is like a promo looking forward to Jesus. When Jesus comes, we see the ultimate wisdom of God. And we have the opportunity to trust in Jesus with our whole hearts. To lean on Jesus, and not to lean on ourselves for salvation, not to lean on somebody else for salvation, but to trust in him. He is the wisdom of God. What John does at the beginning of his book, he talks a bit more about what Jesus is like. I just want to read that to you. He is God made flesh. He is God come to us. So from John 1, you might want to read along. It's 1646, page 1646. I'm just going to read the first few verses. Jesus is God himself. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you flick to 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Picture of Jesus. He is the glory of the Father. He is the wisdom of the Father. And he has come to us with all of his holiness and all of his perfection, all of his unchangingness. He is someone we can trust in, we can lean on, in a way we know we can't do for ourselves. John writes about Jesus' miracles. And he writes this right near the end. So if you want to flick forward to John chapter 20, he gives us the purpose of why he's just recording all that Jesus says and does and is. So in John 20, verse 30 and 31, John writes down why he has written all these things. Why is it so important that you meet Jesus and that you know him and that you can put your trust in him because he's trustworthy. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He just spells it out. It's the John 3:16. I want you to see Jesus, I want you to know Jesus, so that you can put your trust in him, so that you can lean on him and have faith in him. He is the way to God. He is the way of salvation. He's the way of forgiveness. He's how we're taken from being an enemy of God to being a child of God, of having that eternal life in his presence. And he says, I will hold you. You will be in the bosom of the Father. And you might be thinking, well, relationships are pretty costly. I know there's a cost to being a Christian. My life would change if I trust in him, if I put my faith in him for the first time. I know it will cost me something. But as John writes about the death of Jesus, in which he went from being in the bosom of the Father to coming onto earth, and then their relationship is ripped apart as he becomes sin for us, and he dies our death for us. And you see that whatever the cost is for us to have a relationship with God, it's nothing compared to the cost it was for God to initiate that relationship with us, to lose his Son for that moment, in that time. It's incredible love. He does it because he loves the whole world. He gave his Son for that reason. His incredible loving Father. We can trust in him because of what he has done and who he is. We can depend on him like we can in a way that nobody else matches. We can trust in him with our whole heart. We lean not on our own wisdom or our own understanding, as Proverbs says, not on our own salvation, not on our own achievements, not how good we are, but we just lean totally. We put our faith and our trust totally in Jesus. He is God. He is God's King. The Messiah is how John writes it, that you would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. I want to encourage you to lean on God. Place your faith in him. Place your trust in him. Actually, I want to encourage you, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, to lean in to God. What do I mean by that? Lean in to God. There's popular these days two kinds of entertainment. Lean in and sit back. What do I mean by that? There's a kind of lean-in entertainment. You see five-year-olds with iPhones and all the focus and all their attention, and they're playing a game and they're as if their life depended on it. They may lose their life if they don't finish this little Subway Surfer, these Angry Birds. Lean-in entertainment. There's a different kind of entertainment where you just sit back and you've got the big screen TV and you just watch Lord of the Rings for 3 hours. And both are kind of valid forms of entertainment. Lean in and sit back. But they're both not valid in terms of a relationship with God. You can't kind of sit back and watch what God is doing and still say, oh, I've got a relationship with him. If you're just checking things out, that's okay. I still want to know what this Christian thing is all about. I still want to know Jesus. You can sit back. But then you might want to perhaps come to a movie night and meet some people who are Christian. You may want to come to the prayer night and say, what are these Christians doing that they're praying to God and they're expecting something? You may want to get involved a little bit more, but if you're someone whose trust is in Jesus, let me encourage you that you can lean on him. You can lean into him. That imagery that Jesus leans into the Father, into the bosom of the Father, is incredible. We can lean in to a relationship with Jesus in a way that our life depends on. That takes all our focus and all our attention. It's the thing in our life, not just for the moment, but in our life that matters the most. It is life and death. We can lean into God. He desires incredible intimacy with us. He wants us to be up close with him. He wants to hold us. And it doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter who we are. He wants to hold us like a father holds a child, and for us to lean into him like that. In order to do that, we've got to let go of some things though. Pride is one of them. Some of our programs, some of our plans. And got to trust God and lean into him. We're so busy making plans and we're so full of what we want to do. This is Psalm 127. We're getting a lot of the Bible today. We're flicking all around. About plans. This is from the Old Testament. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch. He's basically saying, Jesus tells a story similar about a rich man. He says, builds barns and he becomes incredibly rich and he's just about to enjoy his riches, and that night he dies. So you don't know what's going to last. You don't know what the future holds, Jesus is saying. So if you're going to make plans, include God. And if your plans are getting in the way, you need to get rid of them. Some of the programs and our agendas, and particularly our pride, we need to get rid of that as well. What else do I mean by leaning into God? Well, Proverbs says, in all things, lean not on your own understanding, but in all things, trust God, depend on God, lean into him. I want to give you a summary of the entire Bible. Somebody asked Jesus, what matters? What are the commands that matter? And he says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. So I'm trying to give you a little bit of summary of John. Here's a summary of the entire Bible. Some of what it means to follow God, to be a disciple of Jesus. It says, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, lean into that relationship. I think we're pretty good at doing it with our mind. I think we can understand God and we can know God with our mind, and I'm not going to devalue that in any way. In fact, it's there as a command. You want to know God? Use your mind. Ask hard questions. Wrestle with the text. Deal with doubt. Talk to some smart people. One of the greatest blessings that we have in our church is our home group leaders. And they spend time preparing to help us wrestle with God's word. What does it say? So we can understand it with our minds. And you know, someone who spends a night preparing the night before so that it can do the home group the next night. Hours of time to help us think God's thoughts after him. To work out how does this apply to me as a grandfather, as a mother, as a wife, as someone who's working? How does this true and living word speak to me? You've got to use your mind to do that. But it also includes heart, soul, and strength. You know, you can get angry with God. You can wrestle with it deep down in your soul if you're disappointed. You might be disappointed in your own dad. You know, he didn't hug you enough. And, you know, God is different. He's your heavenly father. He can handle your disappointments. He can handle your anger. He can handle the cries and the pain that you have deep down in your soul. You can give that to him. You can just not avoid it. Step away, but lean into that. We can, in our prayers, with all our heart, we can wrestle with him. We can pray. We can groan. We can sing. Our heart, we can love deeply our heart, soul, and strength. It might be things you do with your hands, things that you do with your feet that love God. You know what those things are. Lean into that. Use your hands and your feet in the way that you love God. Lean on him, but lean into him as well. I think we will be transformed by him. We'll be changed by him if we stop putting up the barriers and kind of blocking my plans and my pride, my programs. I want to kind of just, if I can intellectually know him, that's enough. It's more than that. It's heart, soul, and strength as well as mind. Well, in all your ways, submit to him is what Proverbs 3 says. In all things, submit to God. Give all things over to him. It can be really hard. It can be hard in our work life or in our family life. It can be hard in our thought life. It can be hard as we really deal deep down with what's in our heart. But it can be hard when we're experiencing times of suffering as well. When things are just so hard and so tough. How can I lean on God? How can I trust in God? In all your ways, lean on him, he says. In fact, he actually makes this promise to us from Romans. This is Romans 8:28. It says this great promise. If you're suffering, if you're hurting, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. He's saying if you're a follower of Jesus, God works for your good, even in suffering, even in hardship, in all things as you lean on him. I want to show you a short video of the mum who was interviewed in this, and she was pregnant at 18 weeks. The doctor said, look, your baby has a condition that the skull hasn't fully formed. The amniotic fluid, which is acidic, is working. There's going to be brain damage. Your baby's going to die. And we recommend that you abort the baby. It's devastating to parents. You can't imagine worse news. And in fact, the term is incompatible with life, is the medical term for that. And so they, two Christian people, they didn't want to abort their baby. They wanted a little baby called Zoe to be born. They knew that she would be stillborn. And yet she's born alive. And so the father gets to hold her for a little while. And the part of the interview that we're picking up is actually after she lived for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. She actually lived for 4 years. Before she died of complications from pneumonia. She was severely brain damaged. She could sleep and wake up. She often got sick. And she lived for 4 years. How do you trust God in that? How do you depend on God in that? How does it work for your good? What do you learn about God from that? Anyway, we're going to see a little part of the interview with the mum, who's a follower of Christ, as she talks about baby Zoe.
Would you say this was a worthwhile life? You very much get the sense from you that you feel like it was.
Well, she couldn't do anything that, in the world's eyes, that was an achievement. You know, she couldn't run or talk or dance or sing or do well in an exam. But she was one of us, and she took her place in our family, and we loved and adored her. And she taught us that actually you don't have to be good at things. You don't have to achieve things to be able to be loved by someone. And we felt very much like that we loved her just as we loved our other children who can do an achieve thing.
On this experience, how's your life different because of your time with Zoe?
I think we've learned a great deal. We certainly have learned to love our children unconditionally. It doesn't matter what they can do, doesn't matter what they achieve. I think we've learned to trust God with the big things in life. I think, you know, it was up to God whether or not she lived when she was born. It was up to God how long she lived in this world. And yeah, it was up to God when he was going to take her home. And I think what Zoe's life has taught us is that actually God is in control. And we're not in control. As much as I tried through all of Zoe's life, through the pregnancy and the delivery and her life, to control things, ultimately, when I look back and I talk through the story, I wasn't in control at all.
Well, it is your story. It's Zoe's story as well. It's so good to hear it. Thank you so much for coming and sharing.
Thanks for having me.
It's an incredible picture there. Of suffering, it's the worst thing that you can get. And yet, as she says, we learn about God's love. It's not what you achieve, it's not what you can do. God's love is unconditional. The way that they love their little girl Zoe is the way God loves us. Absolutely unconditional. It's a gift. It's generous. It doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what we've done. His love for us is abundant. A little bit earlier in the interview, she says, you know, she would wake, she would sleep, and she was there for cuddles. And that picture of Jesus being at God's side, of being in the bosom of the Father, which is an offer for us, is that he will hold us. We just lean into him. We lean into his chest. We lean into his heart. That really struck me. The idea that in her suffering, the time they spend with that little baby Zoe, they learn about God, his great goodness. Learn about his love. He is perfect. You can trust him in the big things. You can trust him in the little things as well. Sometimes the little things distract us, but he is in control. He's trustworthy. We can lean on him. Proverbs 3:5, well, onwards from Proverbs 3, the way that it's shaped, it talks about if you follow God, things will go well for you. Things won't always go well, but we know that we'll be loved. This is the fulfillment. This is Jesus' fulfillment of God's wisdom. He said, yeah, there are no accidents. There are only appointments. God is in charge. He's trustworthy. He's loving. Nothing is random. There's nothing that's an accident. It's an appointment with God. It's an opportunity to trust in him. In Proverbs, if you look, you see how beautiful wisdom is. Go for wisdom. Chase wisdom. Know wisdom. When John writes, he's saying, how beautiful is Jesus' love. Go for his love. Have a relationship with him. Chase him. Know him. Lean on him. Lean into him as well. He will never fail us. That's God's promise. He will never fail us. He has loved us. When we look at the cross of Jesus Christ, at first, it shows me just how dodgy I am. It shows me how sinful I am that God had to die for me because I was such an enemy. I was so full of pride. But the cross also showed how loved I am. That God himself would die for me to bring me into himself. Yeah, I'm dodgy. I am absolutely loved, unconditionally loved, abundantly loved by God. Why don't I pray for us? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray as we I think about this life and all the decisions that need to be made, the struggles that we have and the crises and sufferings that we encounter. And Father, we are struck by your call, even in the Old Testament, to trust you with our whole heart. And Father, as we see your Son Jesus, who came to save us, who swapped with us, Father, may we place our trust in him. May we lean on him. Father, may that be ongoing, knowing that you have done all we need to be saved. May we truly experience your love more and more. May we experience not just faith, but a growing faith and a deepening love. May we experience and know your sure hope and your comfort, your peace, your relationship. Father, may we not be crowded out with just programs and plans always, but may we put you first and have times of silence, times of rest, times when we are up close with you, when we do feel intimate with you. May we always be using our mind to love you, but our heart, soul, and strength as well. And Father, it's not just individual. Father, we know that you save us and you bless us so abundantly so that we can bless others. Because we are to love our neighbor as ourselves also. And Father, we can only do that when we've experienced your great love, when we are so confident, not in ourselves or our wisdom, but in you, in your Son Jesus. We're so confident in that we can be a blessing to others. And Father, just like John wrote this down so that we could believe in your Son and have eternal life, may we be people who speak of this great love so that those around us would know Jesus is the Messiah, is the Son of God, is your King. That they would know they can believe and have eternal life, intimate relationship with you, be in your presence. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue to pray for a little while. I want to pray for us. I want to pray about God. And then I'm going to end with there's a little blessing. It's a Franciscan blessing that I was reading in the week. It just really struck me. It's kind of a dangerous blessing, but I'm going to pray for it and hope that that's your prayer too as God works in our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so struck by your love and often by our own foolishness. And Father, we know that your love and comfort can take us through great suffering. Father, I pray now for those who are really hurting deeply, both here and those that we know who aren't here today, those that we know in our street and in our family. Father, for whom suffering seems random, it seems painful, it just leads to anger towards you, Father. And dear Lord, we pray that they would know your deep comfort, they would know your rest and your refreshment. Father, I pray that we would be people who can use our strength, our hearts, our words to show your love to them, maybe just to listen in silence to them. Father, I pray for those who care, for those who are hurting. Give them great strength as well. Give them peace and patience and perseverance. Father, give them your supernatural love, your supernatural strength. Give them your Holy Spirit. Give them your words to say. Give them your comfort. Dear Lord, we pray for our world because we know it's in a mess. Because it is our own deepest desires that cause conflict and quarrels and wars and killing. And dear Lord, I pray for those places where we see all of that. May people turn from their own desires and lean on you. They'll be wise in their own eyes, Father, particularly those leaders. Father, we pray for those missionaries that we partner with who are in some of the dangerous places on earth, really. Definitely compared with us here. May you protect them. May you keep them safe. May they every day, each and every day, trust you. Depend on you. For safety, but also for their work and their ministry. For sharing your son Jesus Christ. I pray for us, for Winterfest, for prayer nights, for movie nights, whatever we do plan, Father. May you be at the center of it. And may it be your work. And may it be your power. And may it be for your glory. And dear Lord, I want to pray this this blessing for us today. Dear God, may you bless us with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships so that we may live deep within your heart. Dear Lord, may you bless us with anger at injustice, oppression and exploitation of people so that we may work for justice, freedom and peace. Dear God, may you bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation and war so that we may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain to joy. And God, may you bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. And we pray this for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.